Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double-teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Hey, guys. Before we get into anything today, I guess we do need to talk about it. For anybody following the news, Twitter, whatever, watching TV, yeah, it sucks. It really sucks, and it's something that, I don't know, we're going to see where the dust settles, I guess, but if you're part of, this is the time as a man where you're judged the most, and if you're part of entertainment, you know, you got to hope for the best, and you pray that it's not real. Let's just say Tournament of Laughs started last night on TBS.
It sucks so bad.
And, you know, we have some real friends on that show. Tim Dillon, Yamanika, Chip Chipperson, these people that we love. And, you know, I hope, you know, for them, for the audience, that they didn't know that they're going to be part of such a dog shit piece of television. But, you know, I've known Tim Dillon for a long time. I've never been on the road with him. Let me say that now.
I'm sad.
I've never been on the road. I can't say for sure, but I have never known Tim Dillon to do anything unfunny.
I'm mad.
And it's just hopefully going on from here. It gets better, and I hope it turns around.
I'm not glad.
And, you know, we'll see what happens after this. I do consider a lot of people on the show friends, but it sucks, and it is what it is, but hopefully it turns around.
We've been had. Mark, just cut it for a second, Shannon, please. All right, let's recompose, come back.
This is the time where our strength is being tested the most.
Okay, we're back. Real Ass Podcast, live. We're here. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez. We are... Joe and Karen are just staring at us.
I was like, can I say something? Or...
What? If the show sucks. Why would they do a show like that under quarantine?
I would say along the lines of the Me Too mentality.
Jeff Ross just heard team.
Now is...
quarantine. He's like, what? Y'all be there.
Who's Quarren?
Oh,
shit.
Gosh.
Zach D'Amico on the board already. Wow.
No, I think it's fucking. I think this is a time, much like the Me Too mentality, to not let your friends slide, to call them out. Tim Dillon, I do not approve of what you were doing.
Yeah.
You don't get a pass because you're my friend for this kind of behavior.
That's true.
I don't approve of what you're fucking doing right now.
Yamanika, you know what? It's not okay. My silence is actually just saying that this is all okay. Yeah. And us not talking about TBS's Tournament of Laughs, that is letting everyone in the world know that we're okay with that.
Yeah.
These comedians need to be held accountable.
And I will. My hat's off to Tim for finding that very specific slice of the counterculture, the TBS audience. I mean, that's a real specific demographic.
How many people are turning that on by accident, seeing Tim and being like, which King of Queens is this?
Look, we got a great show planned today. It is the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, starting off the week nice and hot. Zach D'Amico's here, international superstar. What's up, kid?
Feeling good, baby.
Yeah, yeah. Two incredible guests in studio as always. This is phase two, baby. Quarantine rules are in effect, but guess what? We have two guests in studio today. This is crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Without a Country podcast, it is Joe DeRosa and Corinne Fisher. What's up?
Hello. Hey. Hi.
How you guys doing?
Good, man. It's good to see you.
It's been a crazy time right now, guys. Holy shit.
Shit's getting thick.
It's hot out there. Every guy comedian's going like, what have I done?
I've heard it too.
What have I done in my past?
I literally read every Instagram DM I've ever sent. I went to the first DM I ever sent and read them all.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Because I don't.
I found ones that I could out some people, but I'm not going to.
I was just checking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the reality, I had another person. It was so obviously a troll. They hit me up last night, like, late. It was, like, a hot chick. And she's like, hey, you're really hot. I was like, nobody thinks I'm hot. That's not what they...
I was like, the first thing that we know it's a lie.
They go, you're funny. I really like your podcast. I love your racism and honest take on, Black America.
Yeah. They do smell like that. And they're like, that's one of ours.
That's a common female DM. I love your racism.
Yes, exactly. So, but this girl was just like, you're hot. And I was like, okay, this is obviously a fucking troll.
Catfished.
And then I looked at who she's following. And it's like all the people that are in trouble. Like, it's like just like everybody. And then like all the peripheral people. People, and it's so obviously a comedy fan. And then I just wrote back, how old are you, LOL? And then I didn't say anything back. She wrote back 20. And then I didn't write anything back. I was like, whatever.
Too old.
Yeah. And then this morning, I guess they thought they got me. She's like, how embarrassing. You don't remember writing this last night? And I was like, how embarrassing? Even if I was trying to fuck you, how's that embarrassing if a hot chick is in your inbox and you try to fuck him?
It's getting like... I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to add to this fucking, carcass vulturing that's happening right now. But it's getting crazy. It's getting to a point now where they're putting out these lists of names. And like the first few, you're like, okay, fuck, man. It doesn't look good. That sounds bad. By the time you get down to the fourth or fifth name, it's literally like, I heard a rumor once that he tried to buy an underage girl a drink at a bar. And it's like, what the fuck? What?
Yeah.
Like, what? Is there anything stronger than that to
he
go
He laughed
on?
At a story. That's literally rape, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it's getting a little...
He's a human garbage dumpster fire, baby.
Well, that's the problem. Where everyone's in a... It's almost with everything in society, right? Everyone is in agreeance. Like, if you are fucking around with young 16-year-old girls, you should literally have the fucking book thrown at you. Like, you should go to jail for it. Or probation, whatever they give you in whatever state or region you're in. And you'd have to know. I don't know. Who knows? Not in Jersey.
Francis Ellis made a whole helpful song about it, the consent age in every state.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's
that's
pretty good.
That's fucking hilarious. But that's the problem is that Francis Ellis, if some 16-year-old girl was like, oh, he was in my inbox, they would use that song to fucking try to bury him, whereas he's going like, no, it's funny, and you have to, like, you can make fun of these things. You can have these conversations,
I agree.
But yeah, I agree. I think that the mob that's out there, they're looking for guys to take down. And for these girls that are female comics that are just posting things being like, I heard a story. Somebody sent me this. It's almost crazy. Like, somebody sent me this anonymously. Obviously, they didn't want to share their identity with even me, but I'm going to share it anyway. You're like, you don't think that there's just a chance. Maybe there's a small chance that could be a fake story and somebody fucking with somebody.
Well, and here's the thing, too. And this really bothers me. And it's not all women, obviously, just like it's not all men. The women, though, that are saying things like, you fucking men need to step up to the plate and hold these other scumbags accountable. It's like, hey, maybe some more of us would be amicable about the idea of working with you if you didn't fucking keep clumping us all together as a trash pile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, one tweet is like, all you fucking men are the same. You're all this, you're all that. The next tweet, why aren't some of you men standing up with... Who the fuck wants to stand up with you? You just called us all Pete. It's like being like, why are none of you blacks standing up with the cops right now?
Yeah.
It's like, I wonder
why, guys.
Well, 'cause
the knee's on their neck, but...
Yeah, so, I mean, I think they're a very rational Pete. I always love Corinne's take on everything. I like your take most of the time, Lewis.
I know. Well, this is how I'm going to get clumped into, like, someone said, you're like, Corinne's a pick me girl. And I'm like, I couldn't be more confrontational with most of the men in my life. Yeah. So this is not.
Me and Corinne get into full-fledged screaming arguments once a month at this point. But it's fine. It's great. We love each other.
Well, we have to. I mean, you just really push me to the edge a lot. So. Yeah.
This, look, it's, there's more to unpack. Like, obviously, the D'Elia thing, we broke it down on Wednesday. I don't think much more has come out on the D'Elia story, right? I don't think, like, at this point, I feel like the smoke has cleared, and it seems like he was just sort of being creepy. I don't even think that he solicited any underage girls for anything. So
it was five girls were in the one article.
Right.
Two were underage, and it was just DMs.
But was
one place three?
Wasn't there photos at one, of one? I heard about them, but then they never surfaced.
I'm just saying what I've seen so far.
It was an LA Times article, and it was two girls that said they went to his hotel room, he took his dick out, and they left.
Right. I mean, that's not, and they were underage.
No.
Oh. Well, you can. I mean, yeah, that's just not a great way to.
It's not a great way, but it's just sort of like, I got to be honest with you. It's like he's guilty of being a fucking creep. It seems like that. It seems like when these girls said they were underage, he said, "Oh, cool, I'm not gonna." you know, meet up with you or I don't want to talk to you anymore. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong about that, please let me know. And I really want to make this clear because I don't want to fucking, I'm not defending Chris D'Elia. I don't know Chris D'Elia. Chris D'Elia does not give a fuck about me, will never give a fuck about me. I don't give a fuck about Chris D'Elia. And if he's fucking underage girls, fuck him, right? But you can't sit here,
the lucky devil,
and just fuck that guy, son of a bitch, oh, lucky son of a bitch.
The story I heard was that that when he found out the girl was not of age, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, like I can't do."
Which
this.
Is what you're supposed to do. I don't know.
And then like a year later, messaged her again, but it was like,
yeah, well, it was not, 10 months later. Yeah,
you're 18 now.
It is literally creepy.
I'm not saying that's not a little weird.
He had it in his calendar.
Yeah, that I'm not saying it's not a little like suspect. Right? I'm just saying though, it's not illegal. And so if you want to judge the guy on keeping a clock on when the fucking ball of 18 years old drops at midnight, well, then fine. But I mean, it's also not a crime.
It's
now,
also
whipping your dick out, that's a different story.
But you know, if you remember like 15 years ago, we all as a country counted down until the Olsen twins turned
Mary
18.
Kate,
they were doing it on radio shows like Z Morning.
And they're not even hot.
Yes.
Did it with Britney Spears.
Yeah, they were weird troll doll looking bitches. I completely agree.
They're like munchie cheese.
They're an acquired New Yorkie taste.
They did it with Britney Spears.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what kills me with this shit is like, what are we doing
here? It was
here?
A meme 10 years ago. It was just funny 10 years ago, right? And now it's sort of like the pile on with this guy. Like, look, I you got to call a spade. The law is the law for a reason, right? There's a line that the law says, hey, age of consent is this. Why is it that female comics, or I shouldn't say female comics, but comedians feel like they should decide where that line is over the law? Forget the law. Forget what everyone else says. The line is now here. And where's the line? Is it 21? Is it 22?
Well,
isn't there a girl that's 22 years old that fucking is really immature and acts like she's 12? I mean, how do you decide?
I hear what you're saying. I don't think it's, my perception of it is not exactly that. What I see happening is a little bit different, which is people hate, certain comedians hate a certain comedian. That comedian has some dirt come out. People get very excited about the dirt coming out because they go, finally, the mighty will fall. Mm. And good, good, good. We can dance on his grave. Then, when the initial thing isn't what you wanted it to be, when it turns out he didn't fuck a 16-year-old, he talked to a 17-year-old, and then when he found out she was 17, said no can do, and then called her again when she was 18. Then all of a sudden they go, well, what?
It's creepy, Corinne, fine.
I'm not saying it's not creepy.
But should he lose his career for that?
I was actually laughing at how like responsible. I was like, oh, that's why he's successful, because he marked that down and he followed through.
It is. Yes. He's got an assistant, yes, clearly. He clearly has an assistant.
Siri?
But here's the thing. So then what happens is it's like a kid at Christmas. You didn't get the toy you wanted. So now you're angry you didn't get the toy you wanted. And then you go, well, I don't want anything. And you start having a tantrum. And then they go, well, I guess then you don't want this. He whipped his dick out in the hotel room.
Yeah.
You and your mom will take it back to the store. And you go, no, I'll take that. And then you pretend that that's as good as the other thing.
Yeah.
So then the conversation doesn't become about, here's a guy that might have taken his dick out in the hotel room. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the problem of doing that when you don't have consent to do whatever.
And can we talk about that as well?
Just gets piled into a story about, he fucks kids. And it's like, that's not what we're talking about anymore.
Yeah.
And
that's a huger problem that, you know, I was like upset about, because I'm like, stop calling him a pedophile. A pedophile is a psychiatric disorder. And when you're fucking 6-year-olds, he's like an ephebophile, which is like every man in America.
By the way, we've been calling it hebophile,
yeah,
which
hebophile.
Is the
middle.
Love of child Jews.
I know. That was on an episode that I was on. Yeah. We coined that.
They look so good in their striped pajamas.
Hebophile is the middle, like 14. And then 15 through 19 is the ephebophile. So there's
ephebophile. Okay,
yeah,
that's another thing.
This is my line of expertise.
How do you
guys
know so much?
Because I read.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah. And I've made this point before. Everyone that who wants to fuck a girl in high school? I don't know. Why do they sell schoolgirl outfits at sex stores?
I'm like every man in America. I'm like, this. We're all complicit in the wanting to fuck girls when they're 17.
And
I'm like,
also,
look at any fucking pop star. And that's not like the girl's fault, but it's like also like women are taught when we're in school to cover our bodies because our bodies are just distracting to our male counterparts. It's like, how do you think that makes us feel? But then we also know that it's powerful and we can take you motherfuckers down with it later. And then we kept that in our back pocket.
As you should. The reality is there's a lot of guys out there that are phonies as well. Okay. So here's what a lot of guys are doing. It's like, you know, who would want to fuck a 20 or a 19-year-old girl? and you're like, okay, guys, I understand. Like, I don't, you've seen my girlfriends. I have public relationships. They're all fucking old bitches. Okay, I'm not dating any 20-year-old girls. Okay, they don't like me. I'm an old creepy man. Okay, however,
the glasses don't help.
Let's fucking.
I mean, part of the problem is that you're referring to like 27-year-olds as quote old bitches.
Old bitches.
But we'll get into that later.
That's an epidemic because I like to whack off to MILF porn, and you can't find a MILF over 28 these days.
I know
on the
it's
fucking
true.
Internet.
That's part
but,
of it.
But
yeah,
the point is that like they Oh, fuck, I forgot my point. Shannon.
You date old bitches.
Oh, yeah. So
dying, decrepit, so
unfunny.
These guys come out and they're like, yeah, I don't know, dude. They're saying, because we had the last video where we talked about D'Elia, and in the comments, they're like, these guys are creepy. Who's attracted to a 19-year-old girl? It's like, okay, literally, every Instagram model and porn star looks like they're 19 years old. Okay, so listen, why do we have to have, there's this weird thing that people have to posture and they go like, well, you know, I don't know, you know, that's just creepy to like a 19-year-old girl. It's like, no, everybody physically is attracted to a 19-year-old girl. It's not even about that. It's about hanging out with her.
It's their dog shit personalities and brains.
So you have to try to connect with them on some emotional level in order to fuck them. That's sort of crazy. And guys that can do that, God fucking bless them, because they have the patience and wherewithal to have those conversations about whatever the fuck 21-year-old girls are talking about. But they're hot. Let's not fucking get it twisted. 21-year-old girls are hot. Nobody's following 30-year-old Instagram models. Let's get real.
Okay, well, now it's getting hurtful. Can we just isolate the clip, Shannon, where he said you have to get with them emotionally on some level to fuck them? I just feel like I'm going to want that later.
I used to say, I had a buddy when we were in our early to mid-30s who would date like 21-year-olds, and it was always he always had a headache about it. And I was like, dude, imagine hanging out with a 21-year-old dude.
Yeah.
How annoying that would be.
Even worse.
So much of the time. And I go, and now you're adding intimacy to that? Like, what do you think is going to happen with this, dude? Most of the time, I'm not saying there aren't exceptions, but most of the time, it's going to be a fucking shit show, dude. Like, it's
Even when I started having sex when I was 18, I've never had sex in my entire life with someone under the age of 23. That's how annoying young people are.
Young guys, I'm assuming, aren't very good in bed. They're dirty. There's like, I remember when I was 20, if any girl sucked my dick, God bless your fucking, whatever's wrong with those women. I was gross. I have no idea. Like, they come back to my shit apartment. Do you know what my apartment looked like when I was 20? I mean, there was times where it was just garbage everywhere. It was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
I was just a street kid. I had roommates that lived on couches. God, that was great.
A street kid, just like baby Aladdin.
Oh, imagine having to move a fucking Domino's box to fall asleep next to Fat Lewis at the Chelsea.
It's crazy, dude. The shit that I have no idea why women would sleep with me. But all right, so look, there's more that this happened, right? So obviously they're going after, they went after Joey Diaz. And I want to talk about this only because I think there's something interesting there, right? So Joey Diaz, he doesn't give a fuck. He just fucking...
Speaking of fat and disgusting.
Joey's awesome. You shut your fucking face, all right?
He's
Joey's
fat and disgusting. I'm not going to sit here and be like, no, he's fuckable.
He's hot.
No,
he's sexy.
Nope. It's disgusting. I was so repulsed by just even like the moving image of him speaking.
Joey is... look, here's the thing, okay? Joey Diaz is not one of these young fucking alti fucking, hey, Joey Diaz is a fucking former felon. Like, he went to prison for kidnapping a man by gunpoint, and he made this point a while ago. Where he was like, how am I gonna judge? He was talking about Louis. He was like, how am I gonna judge Louis C.K. for whipping his dick out? You cancel him, you ruin him, but you guys will let me have a career when I kidnapped a man at gunpoint. Like, what's worse? Like, I mean, let's get real. Put it into perspective here.
Right.
And I think the interesting thing about the Joey thing is he just doesn't give a fuck. And the reason I think Joey is going to last with this and nobody's gonna fuck with him. Or they're trying to fuck with him, but I think it's not going to really fuck with his career that much, is because he completely owns it. He's not pretending to be anything that he isn't. I think these other guys...
Anyone that's a fan of his already knows it.
They know what's going on. He's not pretending to not be the piece of shit that he is. You know what I'm saying? He owns sort of what he's done growing up, and we can get into the actual quote-unquote charge, but the difference between him and somebody like D'Elia or Callen or Shaw or these other guys is those guys pretend to be... like nice guys. Those guys are all pretending to be like, oh yeah, we're Hollywood liberals and we want to fucking, you know, they're posting Black Lives Matter stuff and blah, blah, blah. And the reality is they're all fucking scumbags. Everyone's a scumbag. Guys are dogs, right? But when you pretend to be something that you're not, and then you get caught on it, people love catching people with their pants down. It's why Louis went down. Louis tweeting Trump as Hitler. And then as soon as they had something on Louis, then both sides fucking destroyed it.
I've said from the beginning of cancel culture, the people always getting canceled are people that were self-righteous.
Yep.
Louis, I look, I know Louis. I like Louis. Okay. And I think Louis does deserve to be able to come back. I think he apologized. I think he sat his time out. And I think that's my opinion. I also understand if you don't agree with that. Let's talk about it. Fine. We don't all have to have the same perspective here. But I do think that he made the mistake on top of the dick stuff. The dick stuff's the bigger mistake. But the other mistake is he got self-righteous. Once I saw him on talk shows wearing suits and telling people how to vote, I was like, dude, what are you doing? You're not this guy.
Yes.
You're not this guy. Roseanne was doing it for the conservative argument of things. You know, she was doing it on the right, in the interest of the right. People are gunning for Lena Dunham, man. They're trying to find shit on Lena Dunham.
Yeah, she survived like 27 cancellations at this point.
Yeah, Harvey Weinstein. Cosby, the ultimate example of self-righteousness. You know, people love to take down somebody self-righteous.
The irony in retrospect of him telling people to pull their pants up.
Yeah, exactly.
That's and I mean, like, you watch somebody like even like Ari. They, you know, Ari survived that whole shit because at the end of the day, it's like Ari doesn't pretend to not be the piece of shit that he is. Ari's not pretending like, oh, I gotta figure out, you know, what I did wrong. And he didn't apologize. You can't really apologize for that type of shit. Now, like, if you hurt somebody, like, look, if I've hurt somebody, I would apologize to that person. I'm not apologizing to the fucking public.
But here is the reality of what Diaz might have to deal with right now. Because I agree with you. I think he's kind of his own entity, and he's got his following, and his following is going to support him no matter what. At the very least, through his financial...
Well, I think Fighter and the Kid and D'Elia technically are bigger than Joey, right? More famous, quote unquote.
Well, yeah, but
Joey's not mainstream. Like, but the that's average what I'm saying. Person in the street doesn't know who that is.
He's absolutely got a cult following, though. So my point is this, is at the very least, his fans will continue to support him monetarily through the podcast if that's their only option. The loss that he might suffer now is in that woke fucking epicenter of Hollywood. How does the comedy store react to this now? You know, because the story's about the store, and now they might.
They're
going to
have
to start chiseling
a lot of names off that fucking wall. Let me tell you something, okay?
But
this is Hollywood.
I'm not saying that's not true. What I'm saying is they will throw you under the fucking bus if it means their own survival. We've seen it happen a million times.
Yeah.
And that's what could hurt him. I think Rogan's more at risk of losing anything. And I think he'll be fine, too. I think they'll both be fine, ultimately. And also, too, the story, if it's true, was it gross? Yeah. But I'm also going to sit and wait and go, was he just running his fucking mouth and being funny? Was he making it up? Was
and
he being serious?
I got to be honest with you. Even if the story is 100% true and girl sucked his dick to get the phone number of the guy who booked the belly room, I have bigger fish to fry. I don't fucking care, okay? I got to be honest with you. Maybe that sounds insensitive to young women in comedy, but if you suck Joey Diaz's dick to get into the belly room at the Comedy Store, you have to accept a little bit of personal responsibility because we've all made decisions.
Joey's dick is also located in a place called the belly room.
God damn it, Zach. Holy shit. There he is.
And I would also agree that it's an incident that happened so long ago. That was a time, and again, fine, maybe it wasn't right, but times change, we progress, we get better. That was also from a time period where it was just common knowledge and nobody gave a fuck. Like, if you had backstage passes to Metallica, for instance,
you could blow a roadie.
Yeah, it was like
you blow
chicks
a roadie,
blew
you
roadies.
It wasn't
people did
when
shit like
that. When is
that
happening? Why? It's so funny because comedy, maybe because comedians were just like whimsical or whatever the fuck we're supposed to be. When is it coming out with fucking basketball players, football players, rappers, musicians? I mean, Drake, wasn't Cash Me Outside girl dating when she was like 14 or 15, dating like a 19 or 20-year-old fucking, or no, not even, like a 25-year-old rapper. And fucking Drake, he keeps on getting caught in inboxes of like 15 and 16-year-old girls.
Well, that's where they were talking about like Kylie Jenner was dating Tyga when she was like 16.
How old was he?
Legal.
But if older, 16 and 20 is, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So it just depends. So I think that, you know, a 21-year-old dating a 16-year-old girl, they're dating.
I agree.
I think it's like, you know, it's just not that big of a deal in my opinion.
I agree with that.
I think a 30-year-old dating a 16-year-old is fucking a crime.
And I will say this. I agree with you about the bigger fish to fry thing. The part of the Diaz story, again, if it is true, that I found upsetting, where I was like, oh, that's
notorious. Sorry, that's my gay sound effect.
That's the part of it that I was like, oh, that's a little disturbing, is that he was like gleefully being like, I broke her. I was like, I wouldn't. I mean, you know, that's.
I think he's speaking provocatively.
But again, maybe it was just. That's my point.
Flyer that like that's not the appropriate way to get into the belly room, and just maybe because I think sometimes like the problem in comedy is we just don't know how to do things, and like the Comedy Store can be like it's not by sucking Joey Diaz's dick.
Of course,
it's not the.
Here's my point.
Here's an email you can send a tape to.
As friends, if you came to me and you said I broke this girl's spirit and she went home, she was beautiful and then she went home dirty. I'd be like, Lewis, that's fucking disturbing, dude.
Would you say that's that? Like really... on, but if I was saying it on a show like Legion,
but here's
Skanks,
my point.
Because hold on, real quick, I want to respond to what you're saying. Like Rogan's podcast used to be what we're not even this. It used to be guys just talking shit and making each other laugh and trying to be dirty,
and
it became this fucking cultural thing.
And that's what I'm getting at. My point is that's why I go. I'm not jumping on this guy until I find out maybe he's just fucking joking. Maybe he's just running his mouth and trying to be funny. Maybe he's just talking shit. I don't know.
I'll just take it a step further, and I got to be honest with you. I said this about Louis. My mother described being raped with an axe to her fucking neck by her stepdad.
Had a unique life.
Yeah, well, but it doesn't matter. Those bitches need to fucking realize that there are real things in life. And if you decide to suck a man's dick to get some stage time, that's on you as much as it's on him. I'm sorry.
Well, no, okay.
And you should be ashamed. He should be ashamed. I think he probably is ashamed. He's got a daughter now.
Right.
You know, and whether it's true or not, I don't know if it's true, right? I can only tell you right now that I'm looking at face value. Let's say that some girl sucked his dick to get in at the Comedy Store. It's like, people do shit like that all the fucking time. It's not, unless she's like, oh shit, this guy fucking forced me to do this and I felt like I had no other option. I was cornered in a room. Then it becomes a problem. If a girl says, I want to take a shortcut, I've opted to not take shortcuts in my career. I opt all the time to not take the fucking easy route because there's things that we can do that are fucking way worse than sucking Joey's dick.
My mentality from the beginning of Me Too was, hey, if you prostituted yourself and now you feel bad about it, hey, I'm sorry. Like you did something, and now you feel gross, rightfully so. Also, it doesn't mean that I let the guy off the hook who's trying to prostitute you. All right, a pimp is a fucking pimp. Period. So it's like I met Dennis Hoff before he died. He was a creepy piece of shit fucking pimp.
Yeah,
and he dressed it up as much as he wanted to, in that it was this fun party house out in the middle of the desert, and he wasn't like the other one. You're a fucking pimp, dude.
No good life has ended with Ron Jeremy finding the body.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew he was a fucking...
And I met those girls. Those girls were fucking slaves. We went there. Me and Ralph, obviously, went there, and we did a podcast out of there, and we interviewed those girls, and it was actually a really interesting interview. Very, very interesting, because they were salespeople. They were like selling... The same way I would sell gym memberships, they would bring you into their room, they would sit you down, they would engage you, find out what you like, they give you a tour, they show you the sex swing and the fucking blah 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 and this, that, the other, they connect with you, and then they try to sell you a package of sex at the end of it. And it was very clinical sales, like straight up belly to belly clinical sales. And I recognized the process, and in talking to the girl, I was like, I bet you do very well. And I was like, I bet you the people that do very well at this job aren't even necessarily the hottest girls, but the girls who know how to fucking sell. And she was like, oh, 100%.
Right.
She was like, now, the girls who have been here for 20 years that are old, you wouldn't even look at them. Those are the ones that crush it.
Right. And here's what I'll say too, in defense of Joey, because I'm not attacking him in any way. I'm just saying, you know, I hope it's not true. Or I hope his glee was just for show, I should say.
That's what I think. But, if that's sort of the thing,
I think... He was being a Sopranos character.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dude, if you were to isolate so many things we say in the moment where... I mean, the jokes that we make about fucking babies, killing people. I mean, we make jokes.
Absolutely.
Well, I think people don't understand is like exactly what you just said. It's like his show changed. Just like Guys We Fetch changed. And that's why we got canceled. Well, canceled in quotes at that point, because it was really, really just salacious in the beginning. And then it took an edge to actually trying to help people, which is a mistake and I openly regret. So
yes, you're fucking right.
And I'll say this in defense of Joey. It's if you're going to let fucking Don Magic One appear on mainstream television shows, and it's a big fucking goof.
Who's that?
He's the former pimp that like always hangs out with Snoop Dogg. And so I got nothing against Don Magic Juan. He's not a pimp anymore, but he's a self-proclaimed. He's like, I was a pimp. He says it. He still dresses like a pimp. He carries a gold chalice everywhere.
I mean, so is Dante.
You know? Yeah. So it's like I know.
Good point. Let's cancel Dante.
Yeah. So it's my point.
They tried to on my point. I was like, he's one of my favorite episodes. I think Dante has like a lot of useful information that like, because there's like, there's this concept of how we want the world to be. And then there's how the world actually is. So like when I do feminism, I teach like women, I try to like teach women like how the world really is. So it's like, should a man be asking you to suck his dick for stage time? Absolutely not. But is that how the world is? Yes. So you need to play defense and be like, no, I disagree with you. It's not 50-50 though. Joey Diaz is a famous comic.
He wasn't at the time, 20 years ago.
But
Joey
still,
wasn't famous.
If he was already passed,
it was more than 20. It was 25
years ago. If he
was already
passed at the store and he's already doing kind of things,
I know
and
door
it's an
guys
open
that are passed
micer,
at the store.
But it's like if it's an open micer, there still is like there is a
there's a power dynamic. A power but dynamic I got to be honest with you, Corinne. I think the power dynamic, dude. Women, maybe you you know this. Your fucking vaginas are fucking Uber generators of power. It's like this fucking, this thing that's like, you can get men to do whatever the fuck you want. The shit that I've done for women because I'm horny and they just want it. I'm like, all right, whatever you want. It's crazy. And there's a power dynamic there that you can't even point out, or you seem like a sexist. You seem like you're being a fucking woman hater. It's like, no. I think it sort of evens out. I got to be honest with you. You know, Joey in that moment, or any guy in that moment, is just fucking horny and he's succumbing to your power in that moment. So yeah, I do think that it falls on, to be honest with you, this is going to sound crazy, it falls more on the woman.
Okay, Lewis. I mean, we're not going to agree.
It
doesn't fall more on the woman.
Lewis is being a douche.
Well, also, the only reason our vaginas, like, how we learn to use them with such power is because we're treated as literally a walking vagina. And we're like, well, if this is the only thing we're wanted for, then we're going to have to learn how to use it as currency.
Let me say this. This, to me, goes beyond gender issues, okay?
It's trans people.
This is about trans people.
It's non-binary.
No.
It's about black trans people.
This goes beyond gender issues. This is a socioeconomic thing, in my opinion, okay? Now, if we're going to accept, hear me out. If we're going to accept Joey Diaz as a street kid, we're going to accept that he went through some bad shit in his life, that he came from a different background than us, that he didn't grow up in the environment with the opportunities we all grew up with, or some of us grew up with, and then we have to accept that and excuse it, just like we are accepting and excusing the fact that people from certain economic backgrounds are looting stores right now.
Because a lot of white people in Portland, Joe.
But there are definitely some black people who have done it too.
Sure.
My point is we have said, and I have said, I accept it. I don't agree with it, but I accept it because you came from a different land of opportunity than I did. You had a harder life than me. So I'm going to accept that you are acting out in a certain way that I might not understand right now, because I don't understand your desperation. I don't understand your mentality. If I'm going to accept that for that dude, I also have to accept it for Joey.
Yeah,
I have to. Otherwise, I'm a fucking hypocrite.
I think it's just too much.
I don't think any of these people give a fuck about Joey. They want to get Rogan because they saw
that. Does that make sense? What I just said, though?
It does. But I think it's too much.
They saw that $100 million number, and everybody wants his head. They're going to try and cancel him for making fun of masks. That didn't work. Let's cancel him. They're going to try every single little thing.
Yeah, they know the power that Joe holds, and they like every man they're mad at probably does listen to Joe's show. So
yeah, and the problem is the reason Joe survived so long is because he is unapologetic. He's deliberate with what he is and what they do, and when he talks about it, you know, it's why Stern just survived this fucking thing. If Stern would have groveled, it would have been a problem. If Stern would have come out and been like, "Yo, I'm so sorry for what I said," he was like, "Yeah, that's what I did back then." Okay, so
He did apologize, though.
Not really. He didn't say I'm sorry.
It wasn't as
say,
cunty as you just said it.
He said,
I look at that guy and go, what was that guy doing?
That's not apologizing. He said, if I could go back and do it again, I don't know that I would do it again. I'm telling you, I read it.
It's called fucking progress. It's just like, that's
right.
Like,
he had an honest.
And that's my point. That's my point with Joey. I'm going to go, this is a guy that we know is a street kid 25 or 30 fucking years ago, and telling the story of that 15 years ago, it's like, that's why I'm not pouncing on the dude. Well, now, did parts of it make me go, "Eh, yeah, I'm human, but I'm not going to pounce on the dude until I know what the fucking score is.
Joe, what I'm saying is we don't even have to know what the score is. If I take him on face value and 25 years ago, 20 different girls blew him to get a phone number for the comedy store, I just go, okay, I think that's a problem with those fucking that's those girls as well.
That's not the.
I think that's much of a problem with those girls. They need to fucking have some self respect. And also,
I'm not disagreeing with you.
It's just I got to be honest. I can't.
But we don't say to Joey have some moral self respect. Like, just the language you're using is like just fucking rude to women. Like,
Joey.
I think everyone involved in the situation needs therapy. I think that's like a nice way to say it.
I agree.
It's like they
with
all
that.
Come from. It's like I mean I don't think it's an accident that I've women, never sucked those a women dick for stage time. I think it's because I was raised well. And I realized like what a gift that was.
But those women aren't the ones being canceled for it, right? So, the conversation isn't like, well, Joey really needs help. I don't think Joey needs help because 25 years ago he was a young dude who wanted to get his dick sucked all the time. We all want to get our dick sucked all the time. I got to be honest with you. What sexuality, and it used to be a thing, and you lived through this, Corinne.
But if you're bringing it into the workplace, Lewis, then it is a problem. 1 second.
So hold on, I'll address that as well. You watched feminism go from celebrating sexuality to now there's this weird Me Too thing, which seems to be the opposite reaction to celebrating sexuality. You're telling women that they don't really have much, especially young women, they don't have much control of the things they do. There are power dynamics and built within the core of feminism, the patriarchy. So technically every man is in a power dynamic. This is how crazy it gets, right? So I think that, yeah, I don't know. For me, I don't look at... I think you have to look at personal responsibility. And I got to be honest with you, a guy that is at work and there's other, we're all equals at work. When I'm with you at a comedy club, I don't give a fuck. We're equals, right? Joey's at a comedy club with some other fucking
Equals because of our place in comedy, but like there's other people who, male or female, who are not equal to us, and we know that. Like, everyone is not equal.
I mean,
a comedy
look,
club.
You want to get it?
Hold on, let her.
We're you and I are national headliners. Everyone who's working in a club isn't
a B-list act.
So, well, I am. But I was like that. You are treated differently, and I know I'm treated differently, and I'm aware of that.
Right.
Sure. But absolutely. But that's also part of understanding and that's why I keep putting the timestamp on this. Because you're also talking about a club where it is common fucking knowledge that the female owner was fucking comics. Yeah. Nobody had more power at the Comedy Store than Mitzi Shore.
Oh, never mind.
Nobody had more power at the Comedy Store than Mitzi Shore. Nobody had more power in Los Angeles stand-up comedy than Mitzi Shore. She was fucking comics. So yeah. She was, by these standards, was abusing her power.
Of course.
We looked at these things differently back then. Not excusing it. Not saying it's okay. Saying we have learned that we need to be better. That's how progress works, as you said.
Right. Yeah, right? The casting couch mentality has been a part of Hollywood for a long time. Hollywood is disgusting. And I'm like, everyone's just realizing this now.
I agree with you to this extent. It's not equal footing. Sure, but also, do the women need to take some responsibility? Absolutely. But was it also a different time? Yes. All these things play
I own
roles.
A business right now. I would not have a girl suck my dick with the promise of meeting anybody, knowing anybody. I know
what
that.
What about trans women?
I don't consider them people, so fine. But I.
Oh, I just got canceled. Somebody's Chelsea.
Yeah, you laughed. You see that?
Did you hear the laugh?
The laughter, the cackling, the cackling. As Louis J. Gomez said, he does not believe that trans are even people. Joe DeRosa cackled as Corinne Fisher sat there uncomfortably. She's safe.
And then he redescribed it, and he kept laughing.
And he kept
he
laughing.
He laughed at the redescription.
I'm definitely. I would be the least safe because I've spoken out the most in for trans lives.
Also, you're co-opting black culture right now with a feeling.
Yeah, you're dressed like the Fresh Prince.
This is from Urban Outfitters. This is from Urban Outfitters.
Whoa, Urban, racist.
Racist.
I can't believe it.
Racist.
You're clearly a juggalo. You're a racist.
No, we are the last bastion of hope.
Yeah, no, I would get canceled for not standing up and yelling against Joe.
Chicken, turkeys, rabbits, you name it!
Happy belated Juneteenth, everyone.
This is nice. You're amplifying black voices. Yeah, great job.
I really am.
No, and I'm sure Chelsea Pray's got a point, because I'm sure she dated Jim Norton for his good looks and the fun nightlife.
I like Chelsea. Doesn't mean I have to agree with everything Chelsea does. Chelsea like and I have always been friendly.
Well, this is the problem with these fucking LA people. It's like, what are you, even Whitney? Who, like, look, I've met Whitney a couple times. She's been nice to me. When I dealt with some shit, she actually inboxed me very, very nicely. And was really cool, like weirdly cool. But it's like, Whitney, you can just not say anything.
No, no, no. Did you look at her replies? She had to say something. No. That's one of her best friends. They've been on shows together. Like,
then what you say is, what you say is,
I hope my best... And she's a survivor of assault. She has to,
you
she
say,
has to say something.
What she needs to say is, I hope my best friend gets some help at the most. I don't think you say anything. If you, like, especially when you examine what's going on, it's like, you know, he's obviously a little bit of a fucking creep. He's obviously, but it's like, he's, you're kicking a man while he's down. For her to come out, and she tweeted again, like, another thing, like, Happy Father's Day, except to all the creeps. Yeah. It's like, she's sort of relishing the moment.
It's the same. Listen, when you start to deal in absolutes, only a Sith deals in absolutes. There's a reason they say that in episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Jesus Christ, Joe.
Really? That's the most offensive thing?
That was infuriating.
Yeah.
I was banned from the studio for a month.
When you start to deal in absolutes, you paint yourself into the smallest corner possible. When you start to say things like, believe all women, no matter what, you've painted yourself into a corner.
You added the no matter what. That wasn't part of the slogan.
I know. I would add that because it would make me a little extra angry. But when you start to say things, and I'm not picking on that. I understand the sentiment behind it. But when you start to deal in absolutes that way, there's no room to breathe. And then you're no longer allowed to say things like, we need to consider the sources first. We need to take a breath. I don't know him to have done these things.
People are afraid to have those reactions because if you have that reaction, then the fucking Twitter mob comes for you. These bitches start kicking up dust. And it's like, yeah, I got to be honest with you. It's like, that's my problem ultimately with what we call cancel culture. It's when you say, hey, you know what, I'm not even gonna get involved because you have an opinion on it, but you know it's just not gonna be worth the fucking battle.
It's the difference between when a white liberal person says, I accept the looting, and when a white liberal person goes, I like the looting. Do you? Let's have it come to your house and see how much you fucking like it then. Yeah. Because your tune's going to change, and then you're not going to be able to say shit because you painted yourself into this fucking corner where you had zero nuance to look at.
I want
to
just
this.
Drop those white liberals that are fucking like that in the projects for a night. Like, dude, you get no cell phone. You get to live in the projects for one night.
Or you could just wait 20 minutes and not have a cell phone.
Had a cell phone.
It was a real story. It was a real story. Kurt Metzger, like, wouldn't stop talking about it for 6 months. This lady, it might have been for the New Yorkers. I forget what publication it was for, but she was writing stories about how she was going as a white liberal up into Harlem and hanging out at this like after hours thing in Harlem, and just really patting herself on the back about the beautiful blacks and they accept me and I don't understand why anybody's afraid of Harlem and these are the most loving people in the world. And then she had to write a follow-up story that they robbed her.
No.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was so funny. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
I love it. Yeah, but that's they think it's like all like Will Smith. That's what they're gonna get. But then you realize, like, dude, go into the fucking hood. Let me tell you something. When I saw that that rally in my neighborhood that I went out and I hung out at. I'm not gonna say march with Corinne. That's crazy.
I know he was like there for like three blocks and
I walked a lot actually, than I should have. But you know, they started yelling black trans lives matter. And I was like, you just watched some of the black people that were watching. They were like, what? What the fuck did you just say? What am
That's
I marching for?
That's why they
for?
Have to yell it. Yeah.
Doggy, because like, let me tell you something. Go talk to any fucking black trans person. It's not Karens that are giving them the problem. It's not old white ladies that are giving them the problem. It's them being fucking exterminated in the fucking hood because they don't fuck with that shit. They don't fuck with gay culture. They
That's
don't fuck with trans
true.
Culture.
Yeah.
But you can't have that conversation, right? That's not a real conversation. To have the same walk for Black Lives Matter and Black Trans Lives, you're like, guys, there's a little bit of a, like, there's an, there's, it's not exactly.
A conflict of interest here.
Yeah, a little bit of conflict
well,
of interest.
That's why some people snuck it in. They're like, well, no one's going to be like, no, they don't. So let's just sneak it in while we're doing Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, but you have to have a real conversation, though. It's like, and the problem is you can't have that conversation. Otherwise, you're called out for being racist. And that's another thing that white people are terrified of. That is the new scarlet letter. You have that R on your fucking chest. People are like, oh my God. So this is why people want to associate with Legion of Skanks. They want to associate with certain people because they go like, well, I just don't want to be known because those guys are known as being racist or Nazis or alt-right or whatever it is, which is not true. They just throw that label on us.
Of course.
And people just want to steer clear of it.
But that's why I made the parallel before when I said, if I'm going to understand one thing, I have to understand the other. What applies to this situation also has to go for Joey Diaz or whoever else. We either have to play by these rules that we're going to play by or we don't. And all those rules mean This is all it means for anybody thinking I'm condoning this or apologizing for that or do it. All the rules mean is take a fucking breath and let's have a discussion before we destroy somebody the second you hear something, which is why I brought up that list earlier. The second people are on Twitter right now saying things about comics going, I heard a story. Somebody who doesn't want to be named said this. I heard a rumor. That's, I'm sorry, guys. It wouldn't even be entered into the case in a court of law.
And by the way, here's what's funny is as we're talking about this, this is how irresponsible they are by doing something like that. Like, I won't even name the girls' names that are doing that because I know my fan base will go and start inundating them with shitty stuff. And I feel like I have a responsibility to make sure that, like, I was like, look, online people get fucking crazy. And I don't really want my fan base to be harassing chicks that are fucking, you know, whatever. Which is just the opposite attitude that these girls have.
Most of them are pretty whatever.
Yeah, but they, I mean, they're also chicks that, I mean, God damn it. Can we be honest about that? It's like, why is it all the girls that are so fucking against rape culture are the least attractive girls I've ever seen in my entire life? They really are.
I'm gonna stay away from
that. No, it's just true. It's not hot chicks. Where are the hot chicks that are against it? Hot chicks seem to like rape culture. Quote me on that, Shannon.
Hold on. Rape! You are terrible at the soundboard. I know. Can you get somebody to do it?
I'm so slow.
Jesus Christ, dude. Why don't you just have Shannon doing that for you?
But you can't even bust. This is like, dude, girls, you can't bust their balls. You can't, they just don't have the same type of thick skin. Not everyone, Corinne, but this is the thing where it's like.
I agree. I mean, that's why I had to come to the Gas Digital Network. I'm not even shitting you because I would like go and tell jokes and I'm like, oh, you can't tell a joke. And like, you know, like I know who you guys are as real people, so we can all joke here, and I know that like you really don't think rape is good, which I mean 10 years ago I would have been like, Lewis does love rape. That's one thing I know
nobody
about
loves
him.
Rape, it's a demon that's inside of me that I have to exercise,
but it's dark and every time. But it's also why I wanted to come here, because it's like I stand for a lot of things ethically. But I also can't stand being told I have to do something.
Yeah.
So it's like, were we going to take our podcast where we say plenty of shit that will piss off plenty of people on the right or the left to what? A place like Earwolf, where when something happens, every podcast has to sort of, there's this unwritten rule that everybody has to make the same statement about. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
That's crazy.
I'm not doing that. I'm not saying that they make them do that, but it's just that sort of group think of, I'm not even shitting. I have a lot of friends with shows on that network, but I'm just like, I can't do that. I can't do it. I support Black Lives Matter. If you told me I had to wear a Black Lives Matter t-shirt,
that's crazy.
I'd go, fuck you. Don't tell me what I have to do.
Of course.
One is why cancel culture continues to work, because like huge corporations are like, yeah, you do have to say an apology to like this Twitter universe. And like, who even are these fucking people?
Yeah, if you get off Twitter, just literally leave for a day, you realize like it truly doesn't affect you. I took Twitter off my cell phone because I was just constantly arguing with people. So now I just have it on my computer. Dan Soder did this a couple years ago, and I've been meaning to do it for a while. And after the COVID thing, after the police brutality thing, after this Chris D'Elia thing, I was like, I'm arguing with people regularly about things that I don't really give a fuck about that much.
Yeah.
I don't really, like, it's not like, my attitude toward COVID was like, I don't think it's going to affect me. I'm going to sort of live my life the way that I live my life. And I'll play with the parameters, and if I have to wear a mask, I'll wear a mask. I'll go to the park when I go to the park. The police brutality, Black Lives Matter thing, it wasn't like I had opinions on it, but it wasn't something that I was super opinionated on. So why am I arguing with people on a platform? I'm going like, what? Like my fucking family's like, you know, in trouble. Like I have that type of intensity and that type of passion. So I did that. Yeah, and I feel better. I'm just not scrolling. Instagram's a different thing. Instagram is like, it's just your sort of people.
It's not anymore. It's really starting to drift away from it. Because I did that too. I would take Twitter off my phone completely for months. I've deactivated my account for a year at a time.
Really?
And just not even looked at it. And only kept it because my reps would be like, yeah, you got a decent amount of followers. Don't throw it away, but just deactivate for a little while. Yeah. I've deactivated my Facebook. Instagram was the one that I would always keep. I now find myself having to take Instagram off my phone because that's becoming backpat fucking central on there. And people, you know, you need to do this. I've had to block people on Instagram for saying crazy racist shit in my comments. I turned my comments back on because I was getting so much shit for being a hypocrite. And I was like, all right, guys, I'll turn the comments back on. Anybody can say anything.
You had your comments turned off?
I had them turned off because I was tired of people saying fucked up shit. And I didn't want to see it.
Yeah, I had mine off for a year. It was great.
So I turned mine back on, and now I'm having to fucking block people because people are literally coming into my comments being like, these fucking animals just set themselves back 200 years. And I'm like,
well,
Jesus.
It was one comment,
Christ.
Joe, and I meant it. I stand by it.
You know, and I'm like, All right.
I typically don't block people on any social media platform. The only time I'll block somebody on Instagram is if they comment something stupid on my kid. And that's because, like, I have a very thick skin, but his family doesn't. His mom definitely doesn't. The amount of times that I've had a phone call from his mother being like, do you see what the fuck somebody just said about our son? And it's just some kid making some dumb comment. And they're fans. They're not even trying. They're really not even trying to be assholes.
No, they want to be in on
it. They're trying to be one of us, right? So they're making some dumb joke. And they don't get that his uncle's watching, his mom. Like
not his grandparents.
So I literally just made my son a private Instagram profile that's separate. I'm not posting him anymore. I mean, I talked to his mom about it because she was just sort of like, he's getting too old. You know, he's at an age where it's like, the other thing is like, he is reading the comments now. So if I post a picture of him, he wants to go and read the comments and like see what people are saying because, you know, he likes to read and he thinks it's kind of fun. He likes to use emojis. So now I let him sort of respond on his private page. So just literally just close friends, just close family members. You know, if you got also if you leave a review on iTunes, we're going to pick three random reviewers. I can follow Baby James. So all you got to do is go to our iTunes page, iTunes.com.
I like that you're like taking it off, but we're still going to make it a contest.
Yeah, I'm kidding. If you guys want, all right, whoever sends me the edgiest Photoshop of baby rape, you guys can win 1 year of following my son on Instagram.
Best Photoshop of Chris D'Elia and Baby James.
Yes. But it's like, please, if I don't.
Please, nobody do that at all, for the love of fucking God damn it, Corinne. Edit.
Jesus, Corinne. You're really
don't
rotten.
Give them ideas, Corinne.
No, but that's why I won't. That's why if I had a kid, not one picture of him would see the light of fucking day on social media. It's why I don't post these stupid
like
fucking,
Sam does it right.
You know, these who?
Sam Roberts. There's no pictures of his kids.
Oh,
online.
Yeah. No, I would
he
never
does
do
it right.
That's why I don't post these stupid fucking Father's Day things that everybody. I'm not showing you what my dad looks like. Are you fucking crazy? Like, what?
He's coming for your dad.
But it's
I know. The kids thing is like, it was our decision to be in the public eye. You can't make that decision for your child. It's not fair.
It's just, here's the problem. When I had my child and when I got Beatrice pregnant, you know, this is going 8.5 years ago at this point, right? I was in a much different place. I didn't have a social media following and I don't really have a family. So it's literally like one of my proudest things in the world is being a dad. You know, literally, like I'm very proud of it. And you know, it's something that somebody said this a while ago. People only post photos or people take pictures of the things they love most, right? So I was just posting it like basically a regular dude. I don't even think we started Legion of Skanks when I found out Beatrice was pregnant. Like, we were a few episodes in. It was like a show with a few hundred listeners. So I didn't realize, number one, how big it would get. And then it sort of became this thing where I also get a lot of people saying to me, like, hey, dude, the way you are as a father is really inspirational. It really, you know, I talk about peaceful parenting a lot.
Sam inspirational, but
I get a lot of people, I mean, every day sending me messages in my inbox being like, dude, I raised my kid peacefully because of the way I've watched you raise your son. Your relationship with your son is really inspiring. I got a kid on the way. So that sort of became something that I felt like really good about as well. But the reality is, like, it's just come to a time where he's getting older. You know, we're out. If the show's big enough where it's like his mom has been out on like a subway platform and somebody's been like, oh, James, I love, like, that happened once and that freaked her the fuck out where she was like, it's too much. So I made him a private profile for his family and friends. And I still get to be honest with you, it's better because now I get to do it like unapologetically. I take so many pictures of him and post them. Whereas before I would like pick and choose. Like, I wouldn't fuck it. There's weirdos out there. Like, I wouldn't post a picture of James without a shirt on before because there's fucking creeps that are out there that are fucking, you know. Who knows?
Meanwhile, you got him in Daisy Dukes fucking every other weekend.
Well, he's got great legs. He's got some fucking...
He's got some gams on. He's got... The boy's got stems.
Some stems, yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get people that are always kind of showing their family and entertainers, I should say.
I mean, look, Bobby does it a lot, right? Bobby Kelly does it a lot because he loved you.
I get it. I get the pride in all of it.
Or somebody like Bert, that's his whole act.
But I would also say this, too.
I get both sides of
the reason
Rogan,
I wouldn't
never
do
seen
it.
Rogan's
I've also
kids.
Been through fucking hell and back on social media. So that changed me forever. So that's where my mentality comes from.
Well, what would your black friends think, Joe?
I don't think they'd approve. I said a few things today that might get me in trouble.
Yeah, dude, it's a weird thing. But look, that's sort of a decision I had to make. And I don't know. It's good though. It's good. Now James gets to go and like respond to comments too, which he likes. Like he likes to have little conversations. But I gotta like watch him over his shoulder and be like, "Do not touch those fucking pictures."
That's nice.
I got to delete all my nudie photos as well. I just realized because my nudie photos.
Where are these?
In my cell phone.
Pictures of your dick, you mean?
Oh,
not only my dick, but other people's body parts.
Yeah, because you can hack into the cloud very easily.
Can you hack into the cloud
yes,
now?
Yes,
I deleted.
I mean, you always could, Louis. I mean, you might have not been able to, but people can. You gotta like change your password and stuff. That's how they get into celebrities' phones all the time. I'm actually surprised no one did it to you yet.
Yeah, that's my problem. It's like I feel like one day somebody's gonna be like, "Oh, we can just totally hack into Louis's phone."
Yeah, yeah, you're playing with fire. It's a ticking time bomb.
But I also feel like it would be pretty difficult to hack into a phone. I mean, how easy is it to hack
into
a phone?
You're literally challenging your listeners at this moment.
Yeah. There's no way somebody could hack into my phone.
The first three people who hack into Louis's iCloud win a Gas Digital T-shirt.
Doggy, how easy is it? Because here's what I would say: like crazy boyfriends. Would be hacking.
Also,
into
this is making you. This is like, did you see the clip of Chris D'Elia? Someone was talking about like a teacher who like fucked a student or something, and he was like, "Wait, how did that?
Oh, you
how did those
it's like
pictures?
A full. It's a full 90 seconds of him. You see on his face, him realizing that they can save Snapchat photos.
Yeah, yeah. It's so fucking it's really funny.
He's just sitting there like, fuck, dude.
That's Louis right now. He's like, I have nudes of so many people.
He snaps at the guy needlessly. The guy says something and he goes, "I know, dude, you said that like three times." And you're like, "Why is he getting so angry?"
Oh, God. That was not good. That was very incriminating.
Yeah, it's so funny, man. It's so funny.
Oh, shit, dude. Let's do some plugs really quick because we have a lot more to talk about on today's show. Zach Amico, what do you got to plug, my brother?
Follow me on Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show on the network, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, Fridays at midnight, comics talking shit when we watch a movie, and Catalyst Wrestling, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings here on the Social Network.
Mr. DeRosa.
Joe DeRosa Comedy on Instagram and Twitter, Joe DeRosa Comedian on TikTok and Facebook. Without a Country, obviously, is the podcast. Corinne Fisher and myself right here on Gas Digital Network. We take four controversial news stories every week. We take the most conservative and liberal takes on each story we can find and try to find some middle ground. Thank you all for listening so far. The response has been tremendous, and please keep listening.
That was beautiful.
Corinne.
Thank you.
I'm my philanthropy gal on Instagram and Twitter. I really need you guys to follow me on Twitter because 400, and I know they were specifically Gas Digital listeners, unfollowed me when I said Black Lives Matter. I do want to remind you I did make New York Comedy's most racist list, so if that's any way to get me a follow, I appreciate it. I miss you guys.
Who books that?
I miss my reply, guys.
June 25th, this Thursday night, One Night Only, myself, Kurt Metzger, the This Should Not End Well tour. This Should End Well tour is going to be writing again one more time. We're going to be opening things up this summer. As things are opening up, we will be planning more and more dates. But come out if you're in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona, this Thursday night, one night only. And check out my other pods here on the network. Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me podcast, all available on the Gas Digital Network. Use that promo code RAP. You get a 14-day free trial. You get access to every show we have on the network, the entire on-demand library, early access, pre-release, uncensored, ad-free episodes. I know a lot of people hate listening to ads. Well, guess what? You don't got to fast-forward those ads if you subscribe, bitch. The live chat, our very racist live chat. Shannon, please let me know what the live chat thinks of all this stuff that we're talking about at one point today. Please. iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating.
Do you guys have coffee?
Review. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get Joe some coffee, please, somebody.
I'd prefer the woman do it.
It's true.
Okay.
What would you like?
I know. I was just kidding, obviously. Just black, please.
Okay. Whoa. Just black?
Yeah, dude. I walk just the walk, black. Dude. I walk the fucking walk, dude.
Empowered black.
So... Anyway. All right, really quick, guys, we got to thank Spider CBD, who I love. I love Spider CBD, the best topical CBD I've ever used in my entire life. That is SPY DERCBD. Do all the research. Right now, go see what CBD can do for you. I use the topicals after a workout. My muscles are crazy sore. They have a really amazing muscle balm that has 800 milligrams of CBD, and it's stronger than many other brands. That, for after a workout, the absolute best thing I've had. It also has a blend of menthol and eucalyptus. Smells great. Makes you feel great. Everything from anxiety to inflammation, physical pain, muscle spasms. Do your research. See if CBD can help you. It's a great, great, great product that's available. We walk through the mall now, and you see regular stores just selling CBD products because it's become that popular. Go see if it can help you out now. Right now, if you guys go to CBDUniverse.com, this is where you can get Spider CBD, CBDUniverse.com. If you use the promo code RAP20, R-A-P-20, you save 20% off your entire order. So go there right now. Grab some amazing CBD products. CBD Universe, Spider CBD is the stuff that I love. And that'll be that. All right, where were we? What else is going on now? Okay, so, yeah, this is true. I guess the family of Aunt Jemima's, they're not happy.
Were they getting residuals?
Let's see.
Wait, Aunt Jemima's a real lady?
I guess so. Aunt Jemima, the family of Lillian Richard, who was selected as the face of Aunt Jemima in 1925, say she is a hometown hero and take pride in her success and do not want her history erased. Lillian worked for the company for 23 years, traveling and serving pancakes until she died of a stroke. The family says, I wish we would take a breath and just not get rid of everything, because good or bad, it's our history. Removing that wipes away part of me and part of each of us. Interesting. That is pretty interesting to consider the fact that it is a real person. It's something that her family is probably like, yeah, this is something that, and then it's also not even black people probably that are upset about this. It's just some fucking, are they Karens or are they not? Do we hate white women or do we fucking, are we embracing them and loving everything they say? We got to pick one. It can't be fucking day to day. I have to fucking think white women are laughable, or I have to believe everything they fucking say.
Karen is a white woman over 35. Younger than that is
Corinne.
I'm not over 35.
Is a Becky.
A Becky.
I think it's Becky's and Karen's.
Fine, Becky's and Karen's. A Becky, a Karen. I know what it is, but
it's my point. There's no fucking consistency because every single human on earth has a voice that is equally loud. It's too much.
If we're listening to every male comic's blowjob story and taking, you know, each story into account, then I think I would ask for white women that we can take each of our stories into
absolutely.
Account, please.
Unless you're over 35.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in 2 years we can talk about it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But it's so... here's what I don't get. They revised the Aunt Jemima image years ago.
Yeah, to just a regular black lady.
Yeah, to get rid of like the scarf and everything.
Yeah. So I felt like with like and with Uncle Ben's, I was like, I feel like it's great that there's a black person on the cover of this.
Can we see the old one versus the new one?
Because there's food that has white people's pictures on it, and I was like, I don't know.
By the way, the Colonel is a slave owner. You do realize the Colonel from KFC is a slave driver.
Can we draw? We got to draw the line somewhere with this. What? Do not get KFC canceled right now.
What is he?
That's all Joe has.
What is he? He's like, come on down to my plantation.
I know Taco Bell was already canceled earlier this week. I have to now eat it secretly.
Also, another psychotic fucking thing. This is the people that we're dealing with. Yeah, that the old one.
The old one's a little rough.
The old one looks questionable. The new one's just a lady.
They also white. Well,
actually,
they lightened their face.
The old one was just a lady. Well, found out.
I think they had trouble.
That's a real lady.
Seeing it. Oh.
It looked the problem. Why did they whiten her face?
On it, just as you know, just from a graphic design standpoint, I think the left one is harder to see.
So it's a lot more ink.
I think that
it's a lot more. It costs a lot more ink to print that one. So they're like, you know what? Let's lighten it up.
I think that speaks to the lightning speaks to an issue. I'm being serious, in the black community about light skin being treated better than darker skin black people. Mm-hmm. I think
it's
that's
the opposite of
weird.
OJ's mugshot. They darkened his mugshot in certain newspapers to make him look more guilty.
Yes. Oh, really?
And they did that with the shooter that was at that rally, the guy who looked just like me.
Oh, all yeah, he did look like you.
Just like me. They lightened his photos to make him white. It was pretty crazy. If you look at it, like what CNN posted was like a whitened version of him, which is, I know it's not a mistake. It's just this very, when you see any of these things, right? Things like that. How do you not immediately go, oh shit, CNN is trying to get us. That's one little, yeah, look at this.
Holy
Time Magazine.
Shit.
How do you not buy Time Magazine and go, you know what? They're trying to fucking dupe us. This is dishonest.
Of course they are.
And you should be mad. The mainstream media, we've seen so many times them fucking get it wrong. And we've seen them deliberately try to paint a certain story a certain way. How does anybody to this day still trust them? I don't understand that.
I will say this. I will listen intently and open-mindedly to any argument against the Aunt Jemima or Mrs. Butterworth or Uncle Ben's brands that a black person presents to me to hear what may or may not be offensive about it. Anybody white, I don't give a fuck. Shut up. It's not because you might be damaging something that's nicely representing people. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But I want to hear it. It's just like with abortion. If you're a woman, I'm listening. If you're a man, I don't give a shit.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Huh?
I don't agree with that.
Why?
He likes to talk about abortion a lot.
Well, it's not that I think that...
I don't know what I'm saying, that no man should have... You know what I'm saying. I'm speaking in generalities.
I'm saying that, like, you know, if you're... You know, look, I'm definitely pro-choice, but, you know, I think that the conversation... I don't think that white people should only be able to speak on white issues. I don't think that women should only be able to...
I agree.
I think the abortion issue is something that really... It's us. I mean, it's me. I could have been aborted. My son could have been aborted. So, the very least, the conversation... You know,
about you, I mean, not your son.
the conversation should be able to be had.
Where would we all be if you had been aborted, Lewis, besides a respectable podcast network?
Like, I don't
want to kick the doctor away with those beautiful long legs of his.
Wasn't the main thing, like, if Aunt Jemima's family is black and they want to keep it, that seems to me like end of story.
I think the issue that's being presented is that people use the term Aunt Jemima disparagingly to describe black women.
See, I never even heard that. I only knew about the syrup.
Well, I definitely have heard black girls called Aunt Jemima in middle and high school.
But is there something more to that statement, like historically, or is it just because of the syrup lady?
I'm pretty sure look like the syrup lady.
But also,
oh, I mean, okay.
Guys, but here's the thing too. It's like the word retard. It's like, okay, so get rid of one thing. Assholes, evil evolves.
Mm-hmm.
Assholes find a way. So take away Aunt Jemima, take away syrup that most people look at endearingly and go, it's Aunt Jemima.
There's literally nobody going, fuck yeah, slave on my syrup. Love it. Let's party. Nobody. White power. That's crazy.
But take it away and they'll turn
you're
it to something
else. You're just sort of hiding black identity, right? So you're sort of like,
that's what I think.
When they say there's a movement to take the word urban out of descriptions. I guess it was one company, it was a clothing company. They were like, we're removing the word urban from all of our, I was like, first of all, I don't consider the word urban to mean black. I consider urban to mean urban, kids from the city. You know, I used to wear like 555 Soul when I was like 19, right? That was like an urban brand.
Yeah.
But it was white kids, black kids. It was street kids. It was smoke blunts on a stoop. It was like that. That's what urban
meant.
Going
to Urban Outfitters, you won't find one black person in the store.
But there's this, like, this company wants to, they're like, dude, we're going to remove urban. It's marketing. That company is a phony fucking company because they go, we're going to make this big statement and we're going to use this the same way we would buy a fucking billboard. We're going to use this to market ourselves and to show everyone that we're woke. That company is dishonest.
Absolutely.
That company is using a movement and using the pain for people to drive profits. There's no debate about that. It's the opposite of good. It is not fucking good. That is a bad company.
So what I'm saying to you is I agree with you. I'm speaking in great generalities right now, and also being a non-black person giving my opinion on
Aunt
Jemima. Well, yeah, which is contradicting my point. Obviously, there's nuance and exceptions. I get all that. My point that I'm getting at ultimately, and I'm using harsh language to get there, is to say I'm getting a little tired of the loudest voices about black issues being white people. I'm getting a little sick of it. Okay?
This is why they hate me.
So maybe I'm wrong about Uncle Ben's. But when a black person tells me I'm wrong, then I'm going to listen. When it's a white person, I don't want to hear it. I just don't want
to
hear it.
I get it. And I do understand that. I sort of say that sarcastically to people. What you're saying in a very serious, authentic way, I use my brownness to mock idiot white people regularly, but I don't really care. Like I think that they have a right to their opinion too, but I love just telling white liberals that they can't speak on black issues, and it's coming from me, so they just have to sit there with their fucking thumb in their ass. It's beautiful.
This is the most disgusting coffee I've ever had in my life.
It was made by a black trans person. That's why.
It's wow.
True. Jesus.
Black trans.
You let a black trans person in the studio?
Yeah. We just wanted to see how if they could.
What the fuck?
Teach you improv?
Zach! If they could teach me improv. look, guys, no one's safe. Not even me on my own fucking show. Here we go. Oh, Shannon, you didn't get to promote your shit. Shannon, the thing is, ding.
That's fine. I'll take it. Thank you. Listen to my show.
Fuck yeah, Shannon. So, all right. So, yeah, whatever. I mean, I guess Aunt Jemima, any of these things, I got, there's just bigger fish to fry. Anybody who's worried about these issues, it's an extremely privileged class of human being. If you are really worried about that, like, you do not have real fucking problems. And I'm sorry, I can't do anything but sort of laugh at that. And my problem is comedians now, we are supposed to just be funny, right? We're regularly supposed to just be making jokes and sort of mocking things and being sarcastic and being lighthearted. Like everyone should be, every comic should be mocking Black Lives Matter, not in a hateful way, but because this is what we do. When 9/11 happened, I lived here. Every comic in New York City had 9/11 jokes. And it wasn't because they were like, oh, good, people fucking died in 9/11. It was because this is what we do. This is what the only fucking thing we should be doing. Because guess what? Most people aren't that fucking smart. We have doctors. We have scientists. We have people that are really politically minded that read every fucking book. It's not comics. It's not open micers that have five fucking roommates sleeping on each other's couches. It's not people who live in Brooklyn and fucking work at coffee shops during the day and tell dick jokes at open mics at night. These people are not smart. These aren't a class of people that you should be listening to for their opinions. They should simply be entertaining, just constantly making jokes and constantly being silly. And that's why throughout that whole thing, I still made sure no matter what, I would write at least a couple jokes a day about whatever the fuck's going on.
And the problem is the contradiction socially of it all. Okay. You know, and I don't mean to pick on one side of the political coin versus the other, but the problem is the left when it comes to what you're talking about. And
the right's getting, you know, bad too, by the way. There's now, you make a Trump joke, they're not happy about it now.
Yeah. So, but the left wanted to applaud Kathy Griffin for pushing boundaries of free speech and expression when she held up a bloody Trump head, but they also want to cancel you if you make a rape joke. It's one or the other. It's one or the fucking other. You don't get to pick and choose what's okay. Either you appreciate boundary pushing, you appreciate somebody saying something or doing something out fucking landish, which, sorry, whether you hate Trump or not, holding up a decapitated head of the president in the United States is an insane thing to do. Mm. Now, so let's either applaud her for being a boundary pusher and being daring, just like we applauded Gilbert Godfrey for losing everything because he made a 9/11 joke too soon or whatever.
Yeah, a week after 9/11, they did a roast and he made a 9/11 joke.
That's
and
how I lost everything. He lost over tweets about the tsunami.
Oh, you're right.
He got in trouble about 9/11.
You're right. I'm sorry. Okay. So, but again, if you look back at that now, well, nah, I don't even think that's true. I was going to say most people probably say, wow, how times have changed. And he made this joke and he really got out in front of the guns for us. But I don't know. It's like, do we appreciate this or not? It can't just be appreciated when it's against the person you hate. Okay, you got it. Larry Flint once said, freedom of speech is not the freedom to say whatever you want. It's the freedom to hear whatever you don't want to hear. That's what it is. That's what it is. And that's a guy that
said that into a 16-year-old's vagina like it was a seashell.
Yeah, he put his ear up to it. Yeah. And he goes, I hear stench.
Get out of my office, whore. Sounds like you don't have a future.
But I mean, it's like they've been trying to cancel that guy since 1972, whatever the fuck it is.
If you put your ear to a pussy, you can hear the sounds of the mall.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I got nothing left. I'm hungry. Right.
Me too.
Getting lightheaded.
Me too. It's like, but the conversation is interesting and it's not going to change. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse and worse with sort of where this is going. You see now, in Disney films, this was pretty funny. Maybe it was the Legion of Skanks subreddit or one of these subreddits I saw it on. But you know how they have, now there's a thing at the beginning of the Disney films that says, this is outdated material. Some people might consider this really offensive. Right. It was on the new Aladdin, which was made a year ago. And it's like, what are you even talking about? Like, how could you possibly, like...
I think they got in trouble for putting so many whites posing as Arabs in Aladdin. I think
really?
That's what they did. I think that's why they're doing that on the
new. Well, they changed the original song, the first song. It was like, well, they'll cut off your nose or something. They changed the line. Like, they re-recorded
that
song after, because they said it was Islamophobic.
It's a, I found the actual line, the disclaimer. It says, program is presented as originally created. It may contain outdated cultural depictions.
Outdated cultural depictions. So why would you make the movie last year? And then within a year, they didn't see this coming? Like, this was going to be something they did?
I mean, I just love this.
Just take out the outdated cultural things. But you also can't. I got to be honest with you. It's like, seeing Aladdin as a kid got me familiar with, like, that culture in a much different way. I mean, no, it really did, though. I mean, I didn't look at fucking... Look, if I didn't have Aladdin as a kid, maybe my first experience with Arab people would have been fucking 9/11. I don't know. I didn't really deal with Arab people too often growing up. I had a couple friends who were Arab, and that was that. But it was like, you sort of like, I don't know, that representation of that culture where it may be a little outdated and they have curvy swords and they're all fucking, you know.
So your introduction was the guy running around with no shoes stealing baguettes?
Does that happen?
Yeah. That's
Does that actually happen there? Yeah, I'm sure there are poor people who steal.
And he's a street rat.
He was a street rat and he should have been beheaded.
They should have cut his nose off.
They should have cut off Jasmine's clit. This wouldn't even be a story.
She was a princess,
If
though.
They did what they were supposed to do, Jasmine would have had no libido. Here we go. She would have married Jafar because who cares?
Everybody.
She would have been his beard, like we've talked. Every Disney villain, kind of fucking gay. We don't talk about that.
Everybody who has the Shudder app, which I know not everybody does, but the Shudder horror streaming app, everybody needs to go onto the Shudder app today or tonight. Go to The Last Drive-In with Joe Bob Briggs. Go to the Hellraiser 2 episode and listen to his opening monologue about the importance of owning physical media. It's a very new monologue. And very relevant. It's about all this stuff. And he really gets into, here's what's really going on with this streaming editing of everything that we're seeing. These are all corporate entities. Corporations are quietly and legally taking things away. They're discontinuing the production of Blu-ray players. They've discontinued the production of VCRs. They've now just announced they're discontinuing 1080p Blu-ray players, and it's only going to be 4K and up. They keep doing this, and they keep doing it under the guise of, well, it's for better quality. It's not for better quality. They're getting everybody to become reliant 100% on digital streaming.
Yeah.
And once that happens, suddenly, things that you want to watch, things you want to see, are unfucking available.
You can't. The problem is, it's very interesting what you're talking about, and it goes into this sort of new world Orwellian conversation of everything being interconnected, from you going to the grocery store and buying something,
yes,
to the movies you watch, to the porn you look at, to who you're chatting with in your cell phone, the things you're seeing in your house. It's this world where, like, it will be an easier world. It's going to be like, you're going to eventually be able to go think, like, I'm hungry. And then something will pop up in your eyeball and it's going to be like, you're hungry. What are you in the mood for? And it's good. Like, that shit, I believe, will happen within our fucking lifetime.
Totally,
that's not even crazy. So that, in my opinion, is extremely scary. And the problem is, you cannot opt out of it. As soon as you start getting used to things like Alexa, Apple Pay, no touch thing, like all these apps, when you order an app on your phone now, I used to hate ordering food on an app. And now it's just so much easier. Done. It's on its way. If something's missing, boom, complaint, money automatic. Now, I don't like it. I'm giving them my data. I'm giving them what I like. I give them how often I complain. I'm giving them these ratios of, like, all of these things that we don't even know. We don't even know how they're analyzing this data. We're giving them everything. This sort of, like, fingerprint on who we are based off of our digital impression. That's fucking really scary. They're going to be predicting things. I watched Minority Report the other day. The idea that they're going to use digital profiles and social profiles as evidence. Would you be the type of person to commit this type of crime? That shit is all on the fucking horizon, and it's really fucking scary.
Well, and
I will opt out. Once we're there, you're going to see me one day disappear. You're going to see Luis J. Gomez completely off the grid.
How soon?
I know. It's like my dream.
No, I hear you.
Was this Last Comic Standing?
I'm thinking.
Fuck you. You know what?
Get to the button.
I don't want it.
But I mean, he talks in this thing about it, because basically what will happen is rights groups, activist groups, nonprofits that essentially are corporations will start to buy the rights to things because they'll be able to afford to, that they don't want you to see. So he's like, you know, so he deals in horror. So he's like, he goes, the day will come where you can't watch a movie called Cannibal Holocaust because PETA bought the rights to it, and they think that you shouldn't see it because it shows cruelty to animals in the movie. You know what I mean? So when fucking Jeff Bezos owns the rights to every Scorsese movie or whatever, you know, at some point, and then all of a sudden
two
it's like,
guys just stole my truck.
Yeah. Well, to me, it'll go even beyond that, where it's like, we've taken down the movie Goodfellas. We find that it depicts the Italian Americans in a poor light. And it's like, I actually learned by watching that movie that you shouldn't be in the mafia because terrible shit can happen. And it was also really entertaining to watch. It's like, I know what a drive-by shooting is because of Boys in the Hood. It's like, so you're going to take that away from me and then I don't know about it because you're going to say it depicts black people in the world? No, it's showing like a thing that happens.
And more shit's disappearing than we know. There's Always Sunny episodes missing now from streaming.
Oh, the blackface episode is gone now, yeah.
The Simpsons Michael Jackson episode, gone. Tons of British comedies are just gone. Little Britain, Mighty Boosh. Because they had
remember that book Fahrenheit 451, where the government was burning the books, and you could only have certain things, certain information. That's just happening. Like, we all read that and we were like, oh, that's weird. That would never happen, right? What a weird world that is. That's literally happening before our very eyes, and we are giving them everything. We're giving them permission. They've convinced people that are, quote unquote, on the left that social justice is this thing where they need to start destroying things in the name of social justice. It's extraordinarily destructive. It's the opposite. What you should be teaching people if you want to create social justice is about creating art, creating things with the right message, okay? Because the reality is, if it's better art, people will flock to that. They will gravitate towards that. And it's just the opposite. You know, we talked the other day about the, you know, tearing down of statues, where it's like, no, I think a smarter thing would be to make a monument, put the story there, let people know, put a little digital thing where people come with their cell phone and find out who this general was and the atrocities he committed. Why wouldn't you want to teach people and educate versus just shutting down the muting them? And then everyone's in 100 years we walk around, we're like, no, everything is great, kumbaya. It's not.
Well, here's what happens. And it's scary because it's coming from the left, because the right was never and will never fight for your ability to have this stuff, to have access. That's not their game. The left now is acting like the right acted in the 80s. And back in the 80s, it was very progressive musicians mostly fighting for this. Jel Biafra said greatly, what they're trying to do is they try to make you think that they're protecting the public from wicked rock bands and evil rap lyrics. But what they're really trying to do is cut off your access to information itself. Now, in 1984... that seems a little paranoid. Now, it's like, bro, fucking hey, you called it 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. Pretty fucking good, man. And it's the fuck, you just, well, I had something else.
It just wasn't that important. You're talking about the music in the 80s and how essentially this is.
But something you just said about, the Kumbaya Society. It's going to, I wrote something about this for Penthouse a couple of years ago. It's going to be Demolition Man. It's going to be Demolition Man.
The little note that comes out.
It's going to be, everybody is so used to peace, love, and bullshit that when some psycho starts doing something, that they don't know what to do. They literally don't know what to do. That's what that whole movie's about. It's not a great movie, but they have to thaw out Stallone to fight a criminal because the cops are like, well, he wouldn't kill anybody. That's crazy. And then Stallone's like, people used to kill people. What are you talking about? You know, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what they want. I mean, you know, but it's terrifying to me that the left gets deeper and deeper and deeper into this, because now I said to Keith Robinson the other day, I go, dude, am I going to have to go to Fox News at some point just to be safe?
Yeah.
To say what I want to say.
That's the problem. And I also don't want to be relegated to some corner of the internet as being like this alt-right fucking Milo Gavin type that says crazy shit. That's not what this is. That's not what Gas Digital is.
Yeah, I know.
We have a platform where it's like we literally give everyone, every sort of person a voice. Like, I get we do edgy jokes and we say fucked up things, but we don't have, that's not what this is trying to be. And I love Anthony. And I love, you know, I'm friends with Anthony Cumbia. We're not what Compound Media is trying to be, which is this free speech network. Isn't that also fucked up? Saying free speech sounds like you're like an alt-right person now. That word or that term free speech has almost like a charged negative thing to it when you sort of say it with people on the left.
It's gotten to a...
It does. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, I had nothing... But I mean, that's why on Guys We Fucked, we had Nadine Strossen on a lot of times because she's one of the few people on the left. She's the former president of the ACLU. And like, if you really look into it more than just like a Twitter fight, when you start taking away freedom of speech, the first thing that you start taking away are actually women's rights. But a lot of women didn't look into that before they started joining it. So isn't that your gay thing?
It was a little gay what you just said.
It's gay to be a feminist?
Yeah.
I guess for you, for sure. Not for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that... Yeah, I'm going to opt out. That's what I'm going to do. I like what Ari did where he put his cell phone down. He had no longer... But he still is on the internet. Like, I can't do it now. I'm not in a position. But eventually, I will buy a fucking mansion on an island somewhere... And I will just work remotely. I'll do my podcast how I do my podcast.
By the way, getting an island doesn't sound that good right now.
I would love an island. But that's
got bad connotations.
It's a weird negative space to be constantly living and constantly reacting to negative news stories. It's constantly being filtered into your head. And I put my phone down sometimes and I just fucking go like, oh shit, like it's not that bad. My life is pretty damn good. I love my son and I love my apartment and I love my job and I love my career and I love all these things. I'm having a really great time. And I'm like, why am I feeling negative all the time? And it's this fucking fucked up device that just it's feeding negativity. And whatever the algorithms are, because I click on that type of stuff, more of it shows up. And it's fucking bizarre. Mm-hmm. And I really truly don't like it. I don't think it's healthy for us as a society. I've made this point plenty of times, but it's like I go to the supermarket. If I want to buy tomatoes, you know, whoever is behind the counter, I don't care what their social beliefs are, their political beliefs are. I just want to buy these tomatoes and they want to go to work and make their money to work. And they give me my tomatoes and I give them my money and I go home and they go home and we naturally coexist.
Shit, I forgot my tomatoes.
But we naturally coexist and we have to. We have to coexist. People, we aren't supposed to be constantly fighting, constantly at war. This whole social space, it shouldn't be spilling out into the real world. We should be figuring out ways regularly to go to work, get home, feed our kids, get up again and do it again. And for some reason, I feel like the next generation of people, that is completely lost in them. This is way more important than the tangible reality of walking around on the street.
Well, because here's the problem, and you dipped into it with the food apps thing. This device, it's more than just a wall between you and another person. It's a device that curates to your liking, everything to your liking. The fucking news app is feeding you stories that you want to read / probably agree with from publications you subscribe to and want to agree with. YouTube curating your tastes, your likes with every click. Facebook doing the same thing. Every app you have is taking your demographic information, where you are, what your habits are. Everything coming through that phone. If you don't like somebody, you block them. If you don't like somebody, you mute them. Everything coming from that phone is something you want to see or care to see. Okay? So now that it's dipped into retail as well, heavily, okay, very heavily. I mean, you can order a car through an app now.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts.
You buy a car. Get approved. Everything right there. Let it 5 minutes. You're approved for your loan. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Pick up your car over here.
It's nuts.
At a garage.
Or delivered. Yeah. Okay. And now with COVID, no contact deliveries. So there's even less interaction with any of that stuff. So as that all happens, you're eliminating the corner store, the mom and pop, even going into the Best Buy and going, that's my guy at the Best Buy.
They have to. I know this firsthand because we developed and killed an app that we were using. To compete in that space, which you're talking about, you have to spend an insane amount of money. It is such a different world. So it's an interesting point that you say that, because once we move into a completely digital space, well, what happens to the fucking Arab guy who spent 20 years saving and finally got to open up a deli on the corner? He's done. It's over.
But I agree with that.
Who's going to fund ISIS?
I agree with that. And then also, though, the problem is you don't you stop understanding what tolerance is. I have a joke in my act. Tolerance is easy when you're living around a bunch of people that think exactly the same way you do. If you want a gold star for tolerance, go live in an Eastern Pennsylvania suburb like the one I grew up in. And by the time I even get to that premise, people are laughing because they're like, oh, yeah, you're around a lot of fucked up people. Like, yeah. you can't fight every fight. That's what tolerance is. That's what getting along is. It's like you forget, oh, yeah, the old man at the store is kind of a cunty guy, but you know what? It's where I need to go to get my meats, so I go and I deal with. You lose all ability for that.
Soup Nazi was a character on Seinfeld where it was like, yeah, dude, it was the best fucking soup, and he could sort of be a dick, and it didn't matter. You know. And to be honest with you, if his soup was a little less good, he'd have to be a little bit nicer. That's the way the world should be.
Yeah.
That simply should be how it is.
You lose all. People have lost all ability to that. So then when they see something even mildly against their taste or liking, they cannot handle it.
Well, they're also used to being, everything is shaped in this way, right? So now even like YouTube videos are so nicely edited. Like everything is shaped. Like every picture you have on Instagram, you took 30 versions of that same picture. It's a little different than you pick the best one out of them. You put a filter on it. You made it look good. So everyone is just constantly looking into this thing where it's either, you know, it's either curated for you, or you're looking at this very not realistic version of everything that's happening in the world. And then you're formulating opinions on the world on this. And then the real world is happening around you and you're completely ignoring that. And it's just fucking, it's going to be a time where eventually, like, you know, we don't even look at each other in the eyes anymore. I mean, you see that it's a meme now where people are always just on their cell phones. I mean, I get called out on it all the time. I'll be on a fucking date with a chick and she's like, hey, you're on your cell phone a lot. I'm like, God damn it, what am I doing?
You're having sex with me right now.
But it's like, I think that there's no other way to do it. You know, you have to essentially opt out the same way that, like, you hear, like, grandparents. It's so funny because, like, I'm going to do what, like, my aunt does. She never got a cell phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, I don't want a cell phone. This seems like it's too much trouble for me. You know, and it's like she lives a really happy fucking life. She's not worried about anything that doesn't truly affect her. And I think that naturally creates personal responsibility, which, you know, we'll wrap it up on this nice little bow on it, right? But that naturally creates personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking about the things that are directly affecting you right in front of you in your real life and how to change them for the better regularly. Not how to change something across the fucking world, not how to change this. And not that philanthropy is a bad thing. I'm just saying that leave it for the people who really give a fuck about philanthropy. Leave it for the people who really, I can't even say it. Leave it for the people who are going to do more than just simply post something or like something. Leave it for the people that are going to go and do something tangible. And if you were to do something tangible in your life, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, fix your fucking life, fix your credit, you know, work in your community, help people in your community, clean up the garbage on your fucking block. You would do something way more tangible that I think will have a way more positive effect than all the other bullshit.
Well, as these idiots crusade online in their, you know, parade of righteousness, they forget how to treat people that are standing right next to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what kills me about so many comics that I know out in LA with the shit they post about humanity and ethics and all this stuff. It's like, God, dude, I've spent time with you. You treat people like garbage.
Yep.
You don't know how to act like a person, dude. How fucking dare you tell people? Because they've lost sight of what's truly important.
All right, let's wrap this one up. This has been a great show.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Joe and Corinne. Without a country, I think that this is a good representation of the type of shit that you guys talk about on your show. So please go subscribe to them, support them. We will be back with another Real Ass episode of the Real Ass Podcast on Wednesday. Who do we got? Dave Temple? Love Dave Temple. That's that. We're out. Peace.
That's all, folks.